First of all, I want to say a thank you, really, for the opportunity to actually talk about what Chiratma means to me. And I knew I was going to give this talk 6 to 8 weeks ago. And the process of actually thinking about it and asking myself, you know, what is my connection to Chiratma? What does it mean to me? It's been a really interesting process, and I think it actually is far more significant than actually the words or what I'm going to say. For me, it's just been such a significant sort of few weeks. And it's actually given me a clearer idea, I think, of what about the path I've chosen actually in Chiratna. So it's actually given me, because I've had to think about that. And it's also brought up, and I've noticed quite a lot of old patterns arising in that as well, as I've been putting the talk together. So I've got a tendency to sort of overthink things, certainly overanalyze, and I've really noticed quite a painful striving for perfection. I think I put it, I want to give the best talk ever, and it's got to be perfect. And that's actually really, really painful thing to get stuck in. And it's also a very good working ground for me. And also, I am anxious about standing here, and I'm thinking, oh God, what if I get it wrong? What if it all sounds really stupid? What are people going to think about me? But I also know that those are actually also old patterns. They really are sort of outdated. This idea that I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, that there are old patterns of lack of confidence. And I don't think I actually really sometimes feel that anymore. I don't feel that. So they're outdated. And I'm really glad that I've seen that. Okay, so from a jumble of thoughts that I first had running through my mind came this thought that actually it's through Chiratna that I've had a gateway to the Buddha and the Dharma. But in what way and why Chiratna? What is it about the movement that attracted me in the first place and actually has kept me coming back for the last 12 years? And I've been ill recently, I've had flu, so I've done a lot of listening to things, and I've recently been listening to Bhante and what he said about the six distinctive emphases of Chiratna. And I realised that some of the things I've been thinking about, actually, I could actually base around three of those things, because I could have talked about all six, but actually I haven't got time. So I'm actually going to talk about spiritual friendship, the centrality of going for refuge, and Chiratna as a unified order. So first of all, spiritual friendship, and actually this is what I've got the most to say about. So if Chiratna has been my gateway to the Buddha and the Dharma, then it was through Sangha that the door sort of first opened. Because right from my first contact in 2005, friendship and Sangha have been very important to me. At first I was looking for support with the painful experiences I was going through at the time. I needed something that helped the loneliness and the isolation that I was finding, and I needed community. And I recognise that there's still a part of me that does need those things. I do need a sense of belonging and I need a sense of support. But the importance of spiritual friendship is far, far greater than that. Just those things. So I enjoy the friendships that Bhante calls horizontal. So that's, you know, with the friends and mitras that are following the path with me. And as these deepen and grow, it's meant that I can see myself better. So and I'm also aware that you can't know yourself and recognise deeply ingrained patterns on your own. You can't do it without connection to others. And without knowing myself better, I wouldn't be able to grow. I wouldn't be able to grow spiritually. And to grow and towards the truth that underlies life as I know it. It's a deep longing that I do recognise in myself. And I want to see the Dharma that the Buddha saw and that the Buddha realised. And I know I can't do this alone. So spiritual friendship and connection with others is really important to me. And it seems that the Buddha also realised this, because there are references in early Buddhist texts to the Buddha saying that spiritual friendship was not just a half of the spiritual life, but the whole of it. So within spiritual friendship, I'm challenged, and I know that it's important to me to also gently and kindly challenge my friends and watch that I don't collude with them. That's really, really important to me, because I know that in the past I have colluded with people when they've been unskillful. And to both be challenged and challenge and not collude, is actually, I find that very difficult at times. To hear what I sometimes don't want to hear can actually be painful, and it can make me feel very secure. And not to agree with others and say things that they may not want to hear seems a very risky business indeed to that part of me that wants to please people, keep them comfortable and not risk confrontation. But the positive outcomes of more honest relationship has outweighed actually those risks, because I feel more real and I feel more whole and I feel more able to connect with others on a different level than I could previously. And the need to hide myself has definitely sort of reduced. And I found it an amazing process. And it brings joyfulness, it brings a fullness of heart, and it brings me faith. It brings me faith in the Dharma. That sort of, yeah, it brings me the whole process. As well as horizontal friendships, I also appreciate opportunities that Tratnik gives for vertical friendship, as Bhante calls it. So building relationships with those people that are further on the spiritual path than myself. And they can help me to develop through encouragement, friendliness and honesty in their practice. And as I train for ordination, these vertical friendships are becoming increasingly important to me, both because of the enjoyment they bring and also insights that have arisen. I've often wanted these friends, these order members, I've wanted them to be at least bodhisattvas, and if not enlightened, and I've expected perfection from them, particularly in relation to their practices of meditation and following the precepts. And breaking down these false views is really, really important to me. And it's also helped me to be more realistic about my own perfection. And also deep shame that I felt around my humanness, that I wasn't perfect. I've been helped to see how much I see the world in black and white, in terms of black and white. Good and bad, right and wrong. But bit by bit, I'm finding a middle ground in that. I realise that it's not like that. So through spiritual friendship, I'm slowly but surely gaining confidence to be less passive also in my approach to life. I'm able to question more, know more clearly what I feel, and also give voice to it, which is something I couldn't do before. I can allow myself to experience rather than push away. And through spiritual friendship as well as metta-bhavana practice, the ability for me to be with others as their lives unfold has really increased. So some of the sort of egocentric way that I act in the world is being broken down. I can be with others. Am I right for time? Since Bhante's personal statement and further opening up of unskillful behaviour in Tratnik's history, I've also been reflecting a lot on relationships that can arise in teacher-disciple dynamics and close friendships, and just how important transparency is. And I realise I feel a confidence with Tratnik's emphasis of developing a range of friendship rather than all the relationship being concentrated on that of teacher and pupil, because I don't feel that that would be the right way for me. The second aspect of Taratna that I thought actually means a lot to me is that going for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha is central to our practice. And to quote Bhante, going for refuge is primary and lifestyle is secondary. Although he's very clear in saying that this doesn't mean that lifestyle isn't important. The act of going for refuge is what defines one as a Buddhist. And it's what Taratna shares with other Buddhist communities. But being part of the Taratna movement means that I'm able to keep deepening my going for refuge to the three jewels without having to live a particular lifestyle. For example, I don't have to become a nun, I don't have to live a monastic life, or withdraw from the world and my family for long periods of time. Although back in childhood I did have a dream actually that a longing, actually, to be a nun, after I'd seen the life of Bernadette, because I wanted to be good, I wanted to be purer than pure, and I wanted to save the world. So, and I think these longings in childhood have had a deep effect on me, but I think they're another story. The way life's evolved for me would have meant that it would have been very difficult for me to have become a nun or withdrawn from life when I reached middle age, which is when I came in contact with the Dharma. And of course, it could have been a choice. I could have done that. But for me, leaving marriage and family life was never really an option. And neither at the time was actually leaving my career. So it's important to me that practice in Taratna centres on deepening one's going for refuge from provisional to effective, to real, in the context of the lifestyle that I live in. And of course, I have made changes to that over the years in order to have more supporting conditions. And the biggest one in recent years was that I left paid work and live on savings for a while so that I could have more time to devote to going for refuge and have a quieter, less stressful life. I'm not sure if that's actually worked. And finally, related to that is what Bhante describes as Taratna as a unified order. And for me, this has meant that Taratna has offered equal opportunity for me to deepen my practice of going for refuge, whatever my gender, age, sexual orientation, race, caste, or nationality. And it really means a lot to me that I don't feel marginalised because I'm a woman within this order. And I appreciate being able to take part in both single and mixed sex retreats, activities, classes. And it's also important to me that in recent years I'm aware that Taratna is keen to work towards greater diversity across the movement and for the Dharma to reach all who need to hear it. And also it's important to me that there isn't a separation between monastic and lay practitioners. So, I've said a lot of words, and I often feel that words very woefully are inadequate. So I want to finish with something visual, and it's this. And it's my heart. And it was a metta practice, because I sewed on every single one of these beads, which are called seed beads, which I found was really lovely. And I spent months sewing them on, and I... bringing people to mind, so it was actually a metta practice. But now I look at this and I think, today I was thinking, well, Taratna is us. And we are who have committed to a practice in the context of this. And it seems to me that we all bring our colour, you know, we all bring a different colour, we all bring something different perhaps, but together we are Taratna. And that feels really, there's my heart. I've put my heart out there. That's it. Thank you very much.